Blog Talk Radio. It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Transforming Health with Brad King. And as we start the show off all the time, you know, the question is, why are so many people sailing at half-mast these days? And worse yet, how many of these people have been living this way for so long, they don't remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore? You know, too many individuals suffer from a condition of acceptance. They're really guilty of accepting their less-than-healthy status as the way it is. Well, unfortunately, they just don't know any other way to be. Well, not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is the platform that helps change lives one body at a time. Now, how many of you men out there remember what it was like to be a teenager? I mean, think about this for a second, that lean, muscular physique that never seemed to gain an ounce of fat no matter how much you were able to eat or drink. Do you now find yourself patting your belly more than you pat your dog? And if you do, you could very well be experiencing a loss of your male hormone levels. These are called androgens, and primarily the one that you've heard about, which is testosterone. Testosterone is actually one of a group of hormones, and these are the group that are referred to as the androgens. Testosterone is extremely important to a woman's health profile as well. However, in men, it's responsible for the development of the sex organs, the male characteristics, things like our facial hair, the deepening of our voice, muscular development, the amount of strength that we have, and let's not forget that thing that we can't seem to control when we're younger, that thing called the libido. In fact, testosterone is so important to our sexual health that it's often called the hormone of desire, by the way, in both men and women. So as we age, as we gain weight, as we become sedentary or negate to follow a proper diet, we tend to lose levels of this fundamental hormone. And one of the first signs is the loss of muscle mass and strength followed by a gain in body fat, especially in the abdominal cavity. Abdominal fat also happens to be the most dangerous place to store fat due to its proximity to your vital organs. Studies have shown that testosterone and obesity have a direct relationship, and as testosterone levels decline, lean body mass actually declines along with it, and fat starts to increase. As a matter of fact, there was a study a few years ago of 284 middle-aged men. This was presented in a peer-reviewed journal called the Journal Metabolism, and they showed that low testosterone levels were both directly and indirectly related to the amount of fat men carried around their midsection. So guess what today's show is about? It's about men's health, but mind you, it's for women as well. It's for every man and the women in their lives. What you're going to hear today is going to be shocking, but trust me, it's going to be life-changing. Let's try to help as many men as possible change their lives for the better today. And by the way, I have just the expert to help us achieve this. Today's guest is a natural health practitioner. He's a master herbalist specializing in natural anti-aging protocols. He maintains an active practice helping both men and women overcome hormonal and sexual issues associated with aging, including erectile dysfunction, lack of libido, PMS, and menopausal problems. And he often acts as an advisor for men with prostate cancer whose doctors recommend a watchful waiting or active surveillance approach. He's also the author of the Health Naturally newsletter. Please welcome the author of Your Prostate, Your Libido, Your Life. We have Dr. James Occhiogrosso with us today. Dr. Occhiogrosso, welcome to Transforming Health.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you feeling today?
I am very good.
Good. Let's get right into this. Women talk about PMS, they talk about perimenopause, menopause, but you almost never hear men talking about that transition known as andropause, viropause, male menopause. I call it the beer belly blues. Explain to us why men need to really understand what's going on with their bodies as they get a little older.
Well, as men age, a lot of things start to change in the body, just like women. Unfortunately, with men, there's no specific demarcation point, like the stopping of the menstrual flow that women have, that would indicate that a man is passing into or approaching menopause. So what tends to happen is a lot of little things start to happen at once. He starts having some urinary hesitation, which is a result of prostate growth and erectile dysfunction. You know, it doesn't happen all at once, but it starts creeping up on them, and loss of libido and a lot of issues relating to sexual performance and urinary health. So he starts to notice this sort of stuff, and this is when he should start to be concerned. Actually, he should be concerned at an early age before the symptoms start.
So, Dr. Occhiogrosso, that is, you know, that brings us to a very important point here. When should men really start? First of all, when do men start really noticing the ill effects of this transition?
That's kind of hard to say. I think it varies with the men, with each man, but generally the testosterone levels in a man start to drop after he's about 35 years old. They start to decline relatively rapidly. So a man that's 45 or 50 years old could be having some severe symptoms. But on the other hand, some men don't really notice any symptoms until they're pushing 60.
So what would you say the percent, if you had to guess of a percentage of men over the age, let's just say over the age of 40, that are beginning to notice some, you know, negative physiological and biochemical responses because of this, you know, male menopause syndrome, what would you think that percentage would be?
I would guess that would probably be around 50%.
A lot of men tend to... Excuse
me?
Half of the population.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of men tend to, they really, as you said before at the beginning of the segment, they tend to ignore this sort of stuff. My urinary stream's slowing down a little bit. And they kind of just sweep it off to the side and say, well, I am getting a little older. And they accept it as the new normal, which they shouldn't really do.
Now, do you think part of that reason that they accept that as the new normal is because, let's just say a man was to go to his doctor when he started noticing some of these. Let's say, you know, his erection isn't as strong as it used to be. Maybe he doesn't have the energy he once had. Maybe he's lost some muscle. Maybe his strength has gone down. Maybe he's a little grumpier than normal, and he goes and he sees a doctor. And we're going to talk about this in more detail when we get on in the show, because I want people to know about, you know, blood tests and salivary tests, because that's what you really specialize in really measuring the right type of testosterone in your body. We're also going to talk, what is that right type of testosterone? Because, you know, testosterone travels in the body in a few different ways, and some are much more important to those physiological effects within the body than other forms of testosterone, or how testosterone is actually carried in the body. But, you know, let's face it, a lot of, you know, modern allopathic doctors, MDs, so to speak, when you go and see them, and let's just say you can actually convince them to test your testosterone levels, and that's probably pretty hard to do as well, the laboratory reference ranges are age-adjusted to anticipate a decline as you get a little older. So even if you are low in testosterone by, let's say, youthful standards, won't a doctor the majority of the time look at your test and say there's nothing wrong with you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, very definitely. Many clients in that position. There's two issues here. One is that conventional medical doctors typically only test total testosterone,
right?
Which is especially for older men, does not tell you the whole picture. In a younger man, usually the percentage of free testosterone, which is the more important measurement, is usually pretty good. But as a man gets older, his testosterone levels can be at a normal level, what they consider normal, but his free testosterone, which is the testosterone that actually does the work, can be quite low, and they won't measure that.
Now, part of the problem here is that our free testosterone, there's a few things that are going on, and we're going to talk about that in the second segment of the show. But, you know, the free testosterone, as you mentioned, is the testosterone that's really declining, but really it's becoming bound up, isn't it? It's becoming tied up. It's not that we're losing it altogether. It's really unavailable to the body, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's bound with what is known as sex hormone binding globulin, which holds the testosterone, the total testosterone in each molecule and preventing it from becoming a free testosterone molecule. One of the problems with the conventional medical approach is that when a man goes in and he's complaining that he's having, certain urinary or loss of libido or ED kind of symptoms, they'll test only his testosterone.
Right.
The problem is that there are many other hormones in and around that that need to be tested because no hormone works alone.
Absolutely.
And testosterone is just one player in a very complex orchestra.
Absolutely. And we've got so much to discuss today. We've got to talk about, first of all, what are those other hormones that come into play? How do we test for them? What should we be testing for? Because as you mentioned, we have the sex hormone binding globulin. There's ways to test for that. There's ways to test for total testosterone. There's ways to test for free testosterone. And also, what's going to be very surprising, I think, for the listeners today is they're going to learn that estrogen is what we what we associate with a woman's body, and obviously men produce it as well, becomes even more problematic in a man's body as we get older. And testosterone is just part of the problem. The other big part of the problem is estrogen. We're going to be talking about prostate disease today. All the effects of male menopause or the beer belly blues from losing your energy, loss of lean body mass, decline in strength, increase in body fat, especially in the belly area, even difficulty sleeping, depression, memory problems, achy joints, diabetes, cardiovascular problems. All of these are associated with that most important hormone of all called testosterone. We'll be right back with more of Dr. James Occhiogrosso, your prostate, your libido, your life. Do not go anywhere. This show is way too important today.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com. Is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Transforming Health with Brad King. If you have not done so already, please go ahead, join me on my page on Facebook. Go into Facebook, type in Transforming Health with Brad King. We've got over 30,000 people that follow us. Please join that group. We have discussions on that page. Sometimes we give away free products, free books, and at the same time, you're going to find out what's coming up on Transforming Health, and you'll be able to download the shows absolutely free, including on your iPod. Today's show is all about exposing the truth. about that transition almost every man goes through after the age of 40. Believe it or not, it actually happens earlier. We call it andropause. And when I wrote my award-winning book, Beer Belly Blues, I never expected so many women to actually purchase it. However, over 70% of the people who purchase this book are indeed women. So why would that be? Well, because women are the nurturers of our society, and most men just sit back and wait for something to happen. In other words, women are the ones that usually end up trying to help the men in their lives because the men won't do it for themselves. And one very important area of concern when it comes to men and their declining health profiles is that as a man is losing his valuable testosterone levels, he's often gaining a lot of estrogen. In fact, it's well established that the tissue accumulation of estrogen is a very unique hallmark of male menopause itself. And it turns out that as men lose muscle and gain fat, especially in their belly area, they gain an enzyme, a catalyst. And that enzyme is responsible for converting our valuable testosterone into estrogen. And guess what? The more fat we accumulate, the more estrogen we begin to produce. And it's not uncommon for a man of retirement age to actually have more estrogen in his body than women of the same age. Please welcome back natural health practitioner, master herbalist, and the author of the Health Naturally newsletter, the author of Your Prostate, Your Libido, Your Life, Dr. James Occhiogrosso. Dr. Occhiogrosso, I want you to comment on that. You know, I just opened up with the fact that men don't just lose their testosterone, they actually gain estrogen. Why is estrogen such a problem in an aging man's body?
Well, estrogen basically is stored in fat tissue and produced by fat tissue as well. So what tends to happen is an enzyme in the body called 5-alpha reductase starts converting more and more of the man's testosterone into estrogen. The higher estrogen levels cause tissue growth, like you mentioned before. And for a man, this tissue growth, aside from the belly fat problem, much of this tissue growth tends to occur in the prostate.
So Dr. James Occhiogrosso, you mentioned that there's an enzyme called 5-alpha reductase. Isn't that the enzyme that converts testosterone into the problematic form of testosterone called DHT?
Yes.
You're thinking of aromatase.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Aromatase is the enzyme that converts it to estrogen. I'm sorry, that was a mistake.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I just want people, you know, to get the right information. And, you know, sometimes when we're talking about these subjects, we get a little mixed up. I mean, there's so many biochemical names, obviously. So with this aromatase enzyme, one of the problems is we lose the testosterone, so we can't hold on to the muscle anymore, which means we start to accumulate the fat. Now, this enzyme lives within that fat. So the fatter we become, in essence, the more problematic it is, or the more estrogen we're able to manufacture. So have you found in your practice, if men are able to lose the belly fat, they're able to actually stop some of this conversion?
Yes, very definitely. Not only can they stop some of the conversion, but if they lose the belly fat, they can also lower their estrogen levels, their overall estrogen levels, which in turn doesn't actually increase their testosterone levels, but what it does increase is the testosterone to estrogen ratio, which is quite important
right,
in a man's body.
Now, what about some of the other factors? I mean, you know, your book is on prostate health, and I really want to concentrate a lot of time to that. But before we go there, I want men to understand that when they have declining levels of this most important hormone in their bodies, they have so many other factors. And I just want to go through a few of these, and then I just want to get your comments on them. So let's talk about the cardiovascular problems, first of all, because let's face it, a lot of men over the age of 40 are on ridiculous medications like statins that block cholesterol in the body. Why do you think that type of a reaction would be, let's say, dangerous?
You're talking about high cholesterol levels? Or?
Absolutely, or cholesterol medication itself.
Well, the cholesterol medication, I think, there are studies, many studies on this, which say that it lowers heart disease disease and heart problems, but I'm not really convinced that that is the truth at this point. Cholesterol levels are very important to the body. The cholesterol is a very important substance in the body.
Right.
For building, actually, it's the primary building block of all the sex steroid hormones. So without cholesterol, you can't build the sex steroid hormones like testosterone.
So do you see a lot of men that are on these medications, these statin medications, that have, do you think there's a direct correlation between the men taking those and low testosterone, or at least exacerbating the problem?
I think so, yeah. One of the problems that I see, not just statin drugs, but antidepressants is another one, and blood pressure medications.
Right.
Combining all three of these, typically I see many guys that come into my office and they're suddenly dealing with a serious erectile dysfunction problem, and it's primarily because of the drugs.
Right. And you know, it's interesting that you said antidepressant medication, because the studies do show conclusively that men that have excessively low levels of testosterone also suffer from what women call the grumpy old man syndrome. I mean, there's a 300 or at least close to a 300% greater risk of suffering from clinical depression when your levels of testosterone are low. So here's my question to you. A lot of people would be under the assumption that testosterone, makes a man very aggressive, but really it's not really the case, is it?
No. Excessive testosterone levels can make a man aggressive. Normal testosterone levels are not going to change a man's aggressiveness. And one of the problems, as you mentioned, with low testosterone levels, there's several problems with that. Depression is certainly one of them. Another interesting thing is I've seen several studies which where men who have prostate cancer and had their testosterone levels measured, the men with the more aggressive prostate cancers fell in the lower levels of testosterone.
You know, that's really interesting, and the study that you're talking about there was from six international clinics using thousands of blood samples, and it was, you know, almost impossible to refute. We're talking about, you know, institutions like Columbia University, UCLA, that have all, you know, come together. And you're right. I mean, the studies are showing now low testosterone is more of a problematic factor in advanced prostate conditions like prostate cancer than high testosterone ever was. As a matter of fact, I think some of the top urologists in the world, at least from Harvard University, have come out now and say, we need to test for things like estrogen. Testosterone is actually helpful to a man's prostate. So where do you think we went wrong?
It's kind of hard to say. There was a study back in 1941 several men who had prostate cancer were castrated, which lowered their testosterone levels and probably also lowered their estrogen levels as well. But it helped regress the cancer, the prostate cancer. So that was a study that immediately put the paradigm on that testosterone causes prostate cancer or causes it to grow.
Right.
And I think that's where it all came from, and that paradigm has just gone through all of the conventional medical area, and just nobody's challenged it in 70-some-odd years.
Well, you know, and what's so interesting about that is there was a very, very famous urologist, Charles Huggins, from the University of Chicago, going back many, many years ago, and he's the one really that started this, because all of the urologists use his study to basically cite that testosterone is a problem in prostate disease. And yet, when you look at, you know, the basis of that research, his entire conclusion that testosterone caused prostate cancer was really based on one patient, and actually a blood test that has been abandoned due to these erratic results. So, you know, all of these, when you go and see a doctor and the doctor says, oh, I can't even test for testosterone, or testosterone is like throwing gasoline onto a fire when it comes to prostate disease, really what they're doing is quoting this study on one person with the wrong type of blood test. So how do you think that becomes common knowledge, this dogma that so many people are professing as the truth?
Well, that study you're talking about, the Huggins study, that was done back in 1941, I believe. So, you know, we're really, really pushing the envelope on not accepting newer findings.
Right.
But what happens is, you know, everybody, it tends to become the dogma and almost like a religious situation. You know, everybody believes this is the case, this is the way it is, and nobody ever challenges it. And people who challenge it are basically laughed out of the room.
Right, and I think part of the problem with that is because the medical establishment puts so much money and energy into drugs that are defined by a study that was not conclusive going back years ago, that it's so hard to change everything they've put their energy towards. I mean, you know, it's like investing in something and finding out what you've invested in is completely wrong, you know, and you're going to lose all your money. And I think that's how a lot of the pharmaceutical industry is really driven nowadays. It's based on, a lot of it anyway, is based on these erroneous results that they do not want to change because they're going to lose a great deal of money and maybe respect at the same time. You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King. My guest today is the author of Your Prostate, Your Libido, Your Life. We're going to be talking about what you need to know as a man and also as women to support your man about erectile dysfunction, what that has to do with prostate disease, and how to limit your chances of ever having prostate disease or ever having prostate cancer. We'll be right back with more of Transforming Health and Brad King after these messages.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com. Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the second half of Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host. We've got a fantastic show for you today. Very, very important information because it's about what men really need to understand within their lives. And we rely on women to do almost everything for us, and it does become a problem. We've got to become proactive as men. We're very reactive. And, you know, we'll go to the doctor when something goes wrong, but we won't go to limit something from happening in the future. And that's what we really need to do. By the way, if you are over the age of 40, whether you like it or not, you've already begun to experience a drastic decline in your male hormone levels. In fact, this decline actually begins in a man's 30s, and most men can expect to lose almost 10% each decade of their testosterone levels thereafter, especially if they don't take the necessary means to stop this loss. And this drop, primarily in the male hormone testosterone, has been well known for over 60 years by the medical establishment, and yet very few doctors will admit it even exists. And the it is referred to as male menopause or andropause. However, I prefer to call it the beer belly blues, as a couple of the hallmarks of male menopause are an enlarged waist circumference, followed by a decline in your once jovial mood. And as men's testosterone levels start to dwindle, a noticeable loss of muscle mass can be expected, and in the process, our overall metabolism declines. By the way, muscle is one of the primary mechanisms for controlling the body's ability to burn fat. Belly fat is also a pretty good indicator of estrogen in men. Actually, belly fat houses an enzyme called aromatase, and this is the enzyme that's responsible for converting testosterone into estrogen. Men become so efficient at producing estrogen as they get a little older that they actually become estrogen dominant. And by the way, research shows that men that have a waist size of about 40 inches or more typically produce about 30% less testosterone than men that have a waist size of 37 inches or less. And all of these problems are associated with abdominal obesity, loss of energy, low moods, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and what we're going to be talking about next, prostate disease. Today's guest, natural health practitioner, a master herbalist. He specializes in natural anti-aging protocols. He maintains an active practice. He helps both men and women. He specializes in things like erectile dysfunction, lack of libido, PMS, menopausal problems. He's also the author of the Health Naturally newsletter. Once again, for the second half of Transforming Health, please welcome the author of Your Prostate, Your Libido, and Your Life, Dr. James Occhiogrosso. Dr. Occhiogrosso, I just want to talk about one thing before we move into prostate disease. There was a study in the U.S., and this was done, I believe, a couple of years ago, and it was by an anti-aging organization. What they did was they took a blood sample or blood samples of close to 8,000 men aged between 30 and 70, and here's the interesting thing. The majority of these men were men who already thought they were looking after themselves. They took vitamin supplements, a lot of them exercised. What they found was only 4.2% of these men had optimal testosterone levels. So, when you were talking a little early about approximately 50% of the population has low levels of testosterone, and we hear about the shocking, a shocking study like this that shows that over 95% of the population, these are men that are looking after themselves, have low testosterone. What do you say to something like that?
Well, I think one of the causes of that is the high estrogen content in both foods, meats, particularly dairy products, as well as the plastics in the environment. There are a lot of elements in the environment, mostly plastics, mostly petrochemical type things, which mimic estrogen in the body.
Right.
And
right.
When this hits a man's body, it's just like raising his estrogen levels. And anything that raises a man's estrogen level is essentially lowering the testosterone to estrogen level, which is going to cause him symptoms and, tissue growth and excess fat and loss of muscle mass, all of the attendant symptoms that go along with that.
Okay, let's get into the prostate now, because, your book specializes in prostate problems. Let's talk about this from a guy's perspective here, Dr. Occhiogrosso. I'm a guy. When I was in my 20s, I didn't even know I had a prostate gland until I started studying physiology. Most men, we don't know about the inner workings of the human body. If something's not acting up, we ignore it. We don't even think twice about it. Tell us about the prostate gland, and then tell us about why we need to be concerned starting at the age of 30.
Well, the prostate gland is in a male, a very critical gland for many reasons. Number one, it surrounds the urethra, through which the urine flows to the outside world. So any enlargement in the prostate can cause urinary symptoms, urinary hesitation, inability to urinate, which is the worst of the symptoms. Now, as well, the prostate gland also is very intimately involved with the erectile nerves. So any growth of the prostate can sometimes result in erectile dysfunction.
Okay.
So there's a condition called benign prostate hyperplasia, or BPH, which is very, very typical. Just about every man encounters it at some point in his life. Usually starts in the early 40s and just continues on, very, very slow increase in size in the prostate. For some men, this becomes very problematic. For others, it doesn't. Depends on how much the prostate enlarges and where this enlargement actually occurs. If it occurs on the inside of the prostate and surrounding the urethra, he's going to be in a urologist's office relatively soon.
Right.
He'll have an inability to urinate.
So, Dr. Okigrosso, because you're saying that, you know, most men, and I do agree with this, that most men do experience BPH at some time or another within their life, this is not inevitable, is it?
Well, I wouldn't say it's inevitable, no.
So what do we need, why do you think the prostate is growing in the majority of the population? What is the main, is it because we're losing our testosterone? Because once again, men are being told by their doctors that testosterone is causing the problem.
Yeah. So men are a little leery about, let's say, taking any kind of a supplement that might help increase their testosterone levels. They're nervous about it. I have many clients that are, you know, extremely nervous about taking some sort of supplement like that. The bottom line is that you can be proactive by, you know, taking the right nutrients is very, very critical. Many men are deficient in nutrients like selenium and zinc.
Right.
And these two, particularly zinc, are so critical. Well, the prostate is basically it might be the only user of zinc in the body, but maybe not. It's the primary user of zinc in the body. So any man with a zinc deficiency is well on the way to having prostate problems.
Right, right. So, and things like selenium, I mean, you know, Brazil nuts, tuna, cheddar cheese. There are a lot of studies on selenium, not just for men, for women as well. You know, one of the most important minerals for anti-cancer types of effects within the body. So are you saying if men were to supplement with minerals that they would have a better chance of not experiencing things like BPH and prostate cancer?
I believe if men at a relatively early age start supplementing with not just minerals, but minerals and vitamins, basically a good, well-rounded multivitamin, multi-mineral supplement is, I think, imperative in a man.
Now, what about the ingredient, which has a lot of research about it, what about beta-sitosterol?
Well, beta-sitosterol is essentially a sterol that has been shown to lower cholesterol levels. It's also, there's a high value of it, high amount of it in supplements like salt palmetto, which helps with the prostate. It's a good supplement. I don't particularly push for people to take a supplement like that as a separate supplement, because I find a lot of people, once they start getting to the point where they're taking more than a couple of pills a day, they get very uptight about it. They just don't want to do it.
Right. So you're saying the compliance goes down.
Compliance goes way down. So what I try to do, if I have a guy that's very compliant that will actually work with it, I might get him to take, a whole bunch of pills, supplement pills per day, and supplement them in many different directions to bring his health level up.
Right.
But unfortunately,
I want to bring up one thing before we go to a break here and come back, because we're going to be talking about what those values should be of testosterone when we come back. But, you know, what we've been led to believe, because our doctors are telling us about this testosterone is the problem, the real problem is this compound, which is not testosterone. It's a byproduct of testosterone, and it's called DHT or dihydrotestosterone. And here's the interesting thing. When the prostate gland has low levels of testosterone, the receptors can sometimes choose DHT, which actually causes that prostatic growth. So what's interesting is we need to separate the bad form of testosterone from testosterone because they are not the same thing. DHT and testosterone are completely separate substances in the body, and testosterone, as my guest has been saying as well today, has actually been shown to be very helpful to the prostate gland. We will be right back for the final segment of Transforming Health. Don't go anywhere.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com. This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the final segment of Transforming Health. What an important topic today. If we're not careful, by retirement age, we could lose one-third to one-half of our muscle tissue, and this debilitating condition, by the way, is called sarcopenia, is now considered one of the top biomarkers of aging itself. Its specific physical traits are used to measure the progress of aging. And unfortunately, with the loss of muscle tissue, our metabolism lowers and excess body fat starts to accumulate. And by the way, when we're young and vital, we produce healthy levels of testosterone, and testosterone orchestrates this ability to hold on to muscle tissue. We're able to repair, replace, renew our muscle tissue. But as we age and we lose the testosterone, we lose the body's ability to repair, and everything goes downhill precipitously. Please welcome back a natural health practitioner and master herbalist and the author of Your Prostate, Your Libido, and Your Life, Dr. James Occhiogrosso. Dr. Occhiogrosso, we spoke about prostate disease and a little bit about erectile dysfunction, but let's just talk about how these things are being treated nowadays, and then let's look at our options. What about the prescription medications that have come along? What are the ramifications, in your opinion, by using prescription drugs to fix problems or try to fix problems like ED and prostate disease?
Well, when you look at things like prostate disease, there are a range of drugs that they use to work with, let's say, BPH, prostate enlargement. Unfortunately, these drugs, the prostate becomes very dependent on them. And the side effects from the drugs, which are often, when a man's being treated for prostate enlargement, one of the side effects of the drugs that they're using to treat him with can be erectile dysfunction. So it's not a very good situation. Yeah, there are many herbals, salt palmetto, pygium, things like that that do work. And that help considerably with prostate disease, and don't have the side effects, the attendant side effects that the drugs do.
But Dr. Occhiogrosso, I do agree with you that there are definitely nutrients out there that do not have the side effects. The majority of them don't, and there are some that are extremely effective. As a matter of fact, I put together formulas as well for men's health. But when it comes to salt palmetto, I think salt palmetto is a little overstated, because a lot of the salt palmetto that's available in North America is not standardized to the proper content of those active sterols like they are in Europe. If you go to Europe and you have a prostate problem, you walk out with a prescription for something like saw palmetto, but the amount of things like betacitosterol are prominently and clearly stated on the label. So what are some of the other nutrients that you'd recommend to help a man, first of all, limit the probability of getting BPH or prostate cancer in the future?
Well, to limit, let's say, BPH and help with urinary problems, there's an herbal called Swedish flower pollen, which works quite well, helps with urination. It relaxes the bladder muscles, very similar to some of the prescription drugs that they use. But prevention is really key, and prevention is a matter of the right vitamins. Not so much herbals, but vitamins and minerals. If a man is getting a good level of most of the important critical vitamins, which are generally covered in most quality multivitamin products,
right?
He's pretty well covered.
Okay, now what about lycopene? I mean, lycopene, which is a carotenoid found in watermelons, papayas, pink grapefruit, especially tomatoes. You know, it's been used by ketchup manufacturers to sell their product a little more. What's your opinion on lycopene? Do you think it actually works?
Well, I think lycopene works, but from the studies that I've read on this, in supplement form, for one reason or another, I don't know the exact reasoning here, but it doesn't seem to work very well in supplement form. It seems to work very well when it's obtained through food.
Okay, and what about vitamin D3? A lot of research on vitamin D3 really blocking many different facets of prostate cancer. What's your thought on this?
I think the research is quite accurate. It's been a long time coming, and I think it's well overdue. Vitamin D, I think, is one of the most – D3 is one of the most critical items in as far as a dietary vitamin.
Okay. I want to get your opinion on the way prostate cancer is actually treated these days, because advanced prostate cancer, they used to castrate men, right? I mean, they literally used to remove their testicles before the 1980s. And then all of a sudden we had the advent of these new drugs called luteinizing hormone releasing hormone agonists. And, what they do is they literally burn out testosterone production. What's your thought on these drugs and how they're used in prostate cancer these days?
Well, I think they're used a little too frequently. Perhaps they do have a place in treating advanced metastatic prostate cancer, simply because they can help slow the growth a little bit. But it turns out that the prostate seems to have an inherent knowledge of its own. And when you were talking before about DHT,
right,
testosterone, after a while, even when a man is on this these luteinizing hormones, his DHT levels start to climb within the prostate. Seems like the prostate figures out that we're stopping testosterone chemically and tends to work around that and starts producing DHT again. So typically the hormone deprivation therapy that they use with prostate cancer helps for a short period of time, 6 months, 8 months, sometimes a year. But very often the prostate cancer comes back, and when it comes back raging.
Right, right. And I think, you know, what's very interesting and very few men talk about this, they don't know about it, but I think a lot of doctors haven't done the research on this as well, and there's a very common condition with men who take these drugs, and one of them is called Lupron. Lupron is a very famous luteinizing hormone, releasing hormone agonist. And what happens is you're testosterone levels actually increase by about 50% for roughly about 10 days after using these drugs, and then it literally falls to almost non-existent levels. And the flare in that testosterone, that's exactly what it's called. It's called a testosterone flare. But many of the really negative outcomes that are attributed to testosterone flare, where doctors say, well, this just proves that testosterone causes advanced prostate cancer, the problem is they occur a month or more after the initiation of the treatment, which means that the complications actually occur when there's no testosterone levels, not when testosterone levels are very high. So the problem is actually not the testosterone, and I think doctors have to start doing more research in this and understanding that testosterone is not the problem after all. What would you like to share with the listeners, Dr. Occhiogrosso, about any parting words from you in helping a man, you know, just transition the right way?
Well, I think first thing a man should do is make sure that he's on a decent dietary regime with multivitamins and multiminerals and stuff like that, and supplemental vitamin C, D, and E. And then also, if he starts having any symptoms whatsoever, he should have his hormones tested. He can get, I have saliva hormone testing that we do, and we test a whole panel of hormones, including testosterone and estrogen and progesterone, all of which are critical in the balance of these are critical in how a man performs and whether he starts to develop a heavy case of BPH or a light case of BPH.
So, Dr. Occhiogrosso, is this a saliva test?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so basically, you could send that to someone's home. They could basically spit into a vial and send it back to your lab.
Yes, we ship out the kit. It's a little cardboard box. They get it at their home. Basically, all they have to do is fill out the paperwork inside the kit and place their saliva in the test tube and mail it out to the laboratory.
Perfect. What is the website for more information on this, Dr. Occhiogrosso?
It's www.healthnaturallytoday.com.
www.healthnaturallytoday.com. My guest today has been Dr. James Occhiogrosso. The book, Your Prostate, Your Libido, Your Health, Dr. Occhiogrosso, thank you very much for enlightening the audience and talking about this life-saving information. Keep up your great work. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show today. We will be back next week with another incredible topic, incredible guest, and an incredible show. See you then.